3 Nephi chapter 10. After the Lord has spoken the words in the last chapter, then there is silence in the land for the space of many hours. The people were given a time to reflect and ponder upon the things that would been said and identify those things in themselves that they each needed to begin to repent of. And after a while, then the Lord's voice returns in verses 3 through 6. And he talks of the gathering of his people, and he says that he would gather his people if they would repent and turn unto him. And he said he's gathered them many, many times, and he will yet gather them many times, and that the reason that he is not gathering us today is because we will not repent and turn unto him. But if you will repent and turn unto him with sincerity of heart, then he will gather you. And again, this is a call to many to repent, but it's also a word to those who are the true followers of Christ, that to not look out at everyone else deciding what they need to do, but what you need to do, that you need to look at yourself and you need to repent. And as soon as you will work on yourself and begin working on yourself, then he will be able to gather you. And he explains how he will gather you. He gathers you as a hen gathers her chicks, and that means that it's with great protection and feeds you on the way and takes care of you with a loving care and arms around you, and it means he will take care of everything, and he will protect and he will provide the way. And then he will direct you at the same time, and everything will be on him. And that therefore, that's why he says, "Would you, if you will repent, purify yourself, look into yourself, and return to him, ask him what you need to do for you to get you straightened out, then he will gather you, and he will take care of everything else." And again, what he is waiting for is for you to return to him. And then that was all he said in this voice, which implies to us the great importance of this, that he wanted to make it clear to them and to everyone to return to him, and he will take care of everything else. Well, it said that this voice came during the darkness, so that while they were in the darkness, they could ponder and think about it. It said that that during the darkness the earth still trembled, and while it was trembling, and many feared that they might all also die, and some did, as we then see that at the end of the darkness it said in verse 10 that those who were spared were then they then talked about them, and the point was is that the actual sparing of who was really spared came at the end of the darkness. And then it says that at the end of the darkness, those who were alive did praise Christ, and they, meaning that was what was going on. That each person had to make his choice, that he could completely and clearly turn to Christ as a chick then to the hen and turn everything over to Christ, have a desire to be with him, recognize him as their provider, their protector, and their progressor, and if they could do that, then those were the ones that were preserved. And so at the end, they began to praise Christ. Well, it says that those who were spared at the end were those who had received the prophets. They had to have received them in those last days. Again, we see that this big thing that happened to them, all the destruction and the darkness, was only to turn them more solid to Christ. But it did that, and it helped them in that way. But they also had to live through that great trial of this. But they had already listened to the prophets. They had received the prophets, and they had began already to repent of some of their sins before this big thing happened. I'm repeating this because these big happenings, these big signs and wonders are not what convert people. But then this also explains that later it said that earlier we, it had said that it called everyone to repentance, and it left the feeling that many of the wicked were still given an opportunity to repent. But then later on in the Book of Mormon, at this time, then this is full, more clearly explained. And my point is that often in the Book of Mormon or in any scripture, we have to wait to see, we have to wait to get the complete knowledge on something. And why is this? I believe it's because the Lord is testing us, or he's helping us helping us with our spirit of discernment, letting us discern. And we know, and see, when we read that he told them to repent, it made us feel like, well, there's something wrong here. I mean, why was just certain people who were wicked given another big sign, and then if they could repent of that big sign, they would be saved? And we think, well, I would do that. But but our discernment said something was wrong, and then that was good. So he's giving us this opportunity to be able to, instead of just giving everything that appears absolutely correct, he is strengthening and teaching us discernment by having these things that bring questions to our mind, and then later he explains it, and then that becomes a reward that, yes, our discernment was correct. We were thinking about it wrong, and he did not mean that certain wicked or get a special favors, that they get these tremendous things happen and then they're saved, but another person who would be saved if they have that tremendous thing, he isn't. And so we get into that those pagan sort of thoughts, and that again is why. So what's the conclusion of that? We have to read the whole Book of Mormon. We have to read on, and more than that, we have to call upon the Spirit to help enlighten things also, and also we have to read things in context. And the big point is that a single scripture can be quoted out of context or out of place, and it can be used for evil, and it can be used to deceive you. And so again, the only thing that you can trust is the Spirit. And if things don't seem wrong, then you need to study it out. And that is again the press of evil men, is they don't want you to study it out. They're not interested in just giving you information to grow. If you're a true follower of Christ and you're trying to help another follower of Christ, and you're trying to bring someone to Christ, you're just giving them information. You want them to go to Christ. So all you can do is say, here's this information, would you ponder it? There is no pressure or no push, because you can't change that person, and you're not trying to convince them of something. You're trying to give them the information for them to grow. And again, it is a great condemnation upon the missionary work of the church. We do not use sales tactics to badger and push people into making a decision or making a commitment. There is nothing there. We are only trying to help them to come unto Christ, and we want them to ponder it out. Ponder it, think about it, and get their so that they indeed can develop their character and develop their powers of discernment to make proper choices. Verse 13 then tells us that we're to study the scriptures, and if we study the scriptures, we will see that what happened at the time of the coming of Christ had been prophesied, and what that is doing is telling us that we are to study our scriptures, the Book of Mormon, and you will see throughout the Book of Mormon that the great destructions that were here during this time will be repeated before his second coming, and that we're to get ourselves prepared. And therefore, if we study these prophecies, what are they? Well, the prophecy you just gave in this chapter, plus what Isaiah has given, that we will be gathered, and we are to look forward to being gathered, and that there will be great destructions in the last days, and that in general it repeats throughout the Book of Mormon that he will destroy the wicked from time to time, and we can expect that, and he's obviously going to destroy the wicked and purge them before his second coming, and that in general the Book of Mormon is our scripture, and it is a type of things for us. It is written to us, and the things in here will again happen, and we will have the Book of Mormon to verify that, yea, they had been prophesied of.